We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The U.S. is ramping up its sanctions on Russia.
Russian oil will no longer be acceptable at U.S. ports, and the American people will deal another powerful blow to Putin's war machine.
But what will it mean for U.S. consumers?
So the ripples of this are really enormous. The ripples are felt in everything from fuels that we use to heat homes and generate electricity to plastics and also the fuels that we use to drive.
Plus, why some doctors are putting less weight on the annual checkup weigh-in. It's Tuesday, March 8th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Facing pressure to do more to help Ukraine, President Biden announced today that the U.S. is now banning imports of Russian oil and gas. Speaking at the White House, Biden says he doesn't expect all European allies to follow suit.
The United States produces far more oil domestically than all the European countries combined. In fact, we're a net exporter of energy. So we can take this step when others cannot. But we're working closely with Europe and our partners to develop a long-term strategy to reduce their dependence on Russian energy as well.
The European Union has announced plans to cut its imports of Russian natural gas by two-thirds by the end of the year. Lawmakers from both parties, including House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, have been calling for stronger sanctions in response to Russia's targeting of civilians in Ukraine. Meanwhile, AAA reported today that prices at the pump have hit a record high, with a national average for a gallon of regular gas surpassing $4.17, beating the previous record set in July of 2008. That's 15% higher than last week and 21% higher than a month ago. And targeting Russia's powerful oil and gas industry could cost U.S. consumers even more. Later in the show, we'll talk more about what the new sanctions could mean for your wallet. Meanwhile, the number of Western companies pulling out of Russia or making changes to their businesses there continue to grow. Ahead of Biden's announcement, European oil giants Shell and BP said they're stepping back even further from doing business with Russia. Shell said it will halt all spot purchases of Russian crude, and both Shell and BP say they won't enter into new business with Russian entities. McDonald's says it's temporarily closing all of its nearly 850 restaurants in Russia. The company says it will continue paying its 62,000 employees there. Coca-Cola says it will suspend operations in the country. PepsiCo says it will halt sales of its big soda brands there, such as Pepsi-Cola and 7-Up, but will continue to sell potato chips and daily essentials such as milk, cheese, and baby formula. Unilever also said it's suspending imports and exports of its products into and out of the country, but will continue supplying essential food and hygiene products that it makes in Russia. Meanwhile, efforts to implement a ceasefire in the southeastern Ukrainian city of Mariupol have failed for a fourth day. The city has been without power, cell service, or water supplies for more than a week. Ukraine's foreign minister says Russia is preventing evacuations from the city, despite agreements reached via the International Committee of the Red Cross. Russia's defense ministry says it has opened what it called humanitarian corridors in cities including Mariupol, Kyiv, and Kharkiv. As we reported this morning, more than 2 million people have fled Ukraine since the invasion, according to the UN's refugee agency. Ukrainian officials say that among those who remain, at least 700,000 are without electricity and heating because infrastructure has been destroyed. A Texas man involved in the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol has been convicted on all counts in the first criminal trial connected to the attack. A jury found Guy Reffitt guilty of obstruction and other charges for riling up the mob, confronting police while armed, and later threatening his children not to report him to authorities. More than 750 people face charges related to the attack. While more than 200 have pleaded guilty, hundreds more are fighting the charges, and Reffitt's verdict could reverberate through those cases. Tesla CEO Elon Musk is asking a federal judge to toss a 2018 settlement with the Securities and Exchange Commission that requires his tweets to be pre-approved. The arrangement came after the SEC sued Musk, alleging that he misled investors by tweeting that he had funding to take Tesla private. In a motion filed in Manhattan federal court today, Musk's lawyers argue that the requirement has become untenable. Reporter Dave Michaels, who covers finance for the Wall Street Journal, says the two sides never reached an agreement on enforcement.
The SEC has said to Tesla several times, we think Elon tweeted without pre-approval. We think he made statements that are covered by the agreement. And lawyers for Tesla and Elon said, nope, don't agree. Those statements are not covered. So they've been skirmishing ever since the settlement. A lot of companies settle with the SEC and try to, you know, stay on the SEC's good side and not antagonize the SEC then. But Tesla and the SEC and Elon Musk have never really patched things up, and they're still fighting to this day.
And at a virtual event today, Apple revealed a new model of its low-end iPhone SE with faster 5G service. Analysts predict the addition will help the tech giant keep sales at a record pace. Apple also announced a deal to broadcast Major League Baseball games on Apple TV+, joining a number of media companies adding sports to their streaming services. Coming up, the Biden administration is taking direct aim at Russia's oil and gas industry, banning all imports to the U.S. But with inflation and gas prices already running high, what will the latest sanctions mean for U.S. consumers?
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The U.S. and Western allies have levied extensive sanctions on Russia since its invasion of Ukraine nearly 2 weeks ago, but have avoided targeting Russia's oil and gas industry, which accounts for more than 10% of global supply. But with heavy fighting ongoing in Ukraine, including against civilians, and pressure to do more from Congress, President Biden announced today that the U.S. is now taking that step.
Americans have rallied to support the Ukrainian people and made it clear we will not be part of subsidizing Putin's war.
And Biden also warned that U.S. consumers will have to brace for higher prices.
The decision today is not without cost here at home. Putin's war is already hurting American families at the gas pump. Since Putin began his military buildup on Ukrainian borders, just since then, the price of the gas at the pump in America went up 75 cents. And with this action, it's going to go up further. I'm going to do everything I can to minimize Putin's price hike here at home.
According to a new WSJ poll, 79% of Americans said they favor a ban on Russian oil imports, even if it meant higher energy prices at home. But the price hikes may be broader than expected. So, what can the president do to control higher costs? And what does today's action mean for consumers? Joining me now with more on this is our global climate and energy editor, Miguel Bustillo. Hi, Miguel. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Miguel, let's start with some basics here. What can you tell us about why the price of oil is soaring right now, especially since the U.S. doesn't import a huge amount of oil from Russia? Is it more that the price is rising due to fears about the greater impact of war in Ukraine outside of the country? Break down for us the factors that are going into the surge we're seeing right now.
Well, the price of oil has been rising even before the war with Ukraine. It's been going up for some time because as the world began to slowly travel again and drive and fly following the pandemic, the supply of oil has not kept up with rising demand. So even before this huge geopolitical situation that we now have with Russia invading Ukraine, oil prices had been rising, and in turn, so had gasoline prices. So after the invasion, the initial response from a lot of the Western world was to try to limit sanctions on energy. The thinking was that energy sanctions would be too economically disruptive. So the initial round of responses, including sanctions against Russia, tried to steer clear of energy. But as things escalated in Ukraine, you saw the United States and its European allies respond more forcefully with more and more sanctions and more measures to try to punish Russia economically. And that began to directly target energy, including
what we're seeing now with a direct ban on oil imports by the United States. But even before you saw those direct actions, markets began to respond, and the oil cargoes and energy exports from Russia began to be much tougher for anyone to stomach buying.
So President Biden had been under pressure to sanction Russia's powerful oil and gas industry, and he made that official today. He also said he is going to do all that he can to try to insulate Americans from price increases. But is that possible? Can the president insulate U.S. consumers from rising prices?
Short answer is no. The president doesn't have magical powers to insulate American consumers from rising prices of a globally traded commodity. The president has levers he can pull to try to minimize the impact, but the bottom line is when there's a finite amount of oil in the world and Russia, the third largest producer in the world, is being increasingly blackballed in global markets, that's going to have an impact. It's going to have an impact on the United States, even though the United States is not actually a very large consumer of Russian oil.
This is all a huge political football at this point. And President Biden, in making his announcement today about Russian oil imports, took pains to note that his administration had not stopped, in his view, the American producers from producing more oil. And he noted that they had something on the order of 9,000 approved leases on federal lands that they could exploit, and made a number of other talking points about the administration's position as to why it has not impeded energy production. But that's become a huge political issue. And the reality is that even before the war, the gasoline prices have been going up, oil prices have been going up, and there had been a supply-demand imbalance. So this has become a big political issue for the president, and inflation, rising consumer prices are hitting people in their pocketbooks in the United States. So it's an issue that we are sure to hear much more about as we head into the midterm elections later this year, and you will hear plenty from Republicans and Democrats about it.
So what should U.S. consumers now expect?
Unfortunately, I think U.S. consumers can likely expect higher prices to come. We already have some of the highest oil and gasoline prices that we've seen in some time, and it's quite possible that they're going to go higher before they go any lower as the markets digest this incredible turmoil. And there's still really basic questions about how is the world going to get enough oil right now? How are oil supplies going to be reordered to try to meet demand? Who can step up here and provide more oil? And none of that is clear at the moment. It's not even clear that there is an answer. So it comes down to simple supply and demand. When you have an enormous source of global supply suddenly being removed from the equation, there's no simple answer for how that's going to play out.
What other industries are we most likely to see impacted by this rising prices in oil? What are some of the more immediate effects that we may see?
Well, it's important to always keep in mind that oil isn't only a source of fuel for cars. A lot of the world's plastic is made from oil and oil byproducts. So the ripples of this are really enormous. The ripples are felt in everything from fuels that we use to heat homes and generate electricity to plastics and also the fuels that we use to drive. So although some people wish it were different, oil is extremely important to civilization today, and oil and gas are really continue to be the biggest and most important sources of energy worldwide.
That's Wall Street Journal Global Climate and Energy Editor Miguel Bustillo. Miguel, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
And finally, getting weighed is a standard part of an annual checkup at the doctor's office. But some patients find the process uncomfortable and have even lobbied to reduce the focus on weight as a barometer of health. Wall Street Journal, your health columnist, Sumathi Reddy, says some health professionals are taking notice and rethinking the routine weigh-in.
One doctor pointed out, like, you know, if someone's a healthy weight, a doctor might automatically assume that they don't have certain health issues, but that's not necessarily the case. You can be underweight or be a healthy weight and still have high cholesterol or still be pre-diabetic or have high blood pressure. So just because you're a healthy weight, you can't rule out those things. And by the same token, you can be overweight and not have a lot of those things and be pretty, you know, healthy. So I think it's just making these assumptions about people who might be overweight.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fratoli for The Wall Street Journal.